20. Stone was having a sandwich at his desk when the phone rang. Joan had gone to the bank, so he answered. "Hi, Stone," a silken and very familiar voice said. "It's Tiffany." Tiffany Baldwin was the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York, and something of an old flame of Stone's. He did not wish to hear from her, but he didn't want to alienate her either, given her position. "Hi, Tiff," he said as pleasantly as he could manage. "Something came across my desk involving a client of yours," she said.
"Oh? Which client?"
"One Herbert Fisher. Seems Mr. Fisher got the funds in a brokerage account as part of a divorce settlement."
"Oh, yes, I remember," Stone said. "I believe I wrote to you about it some months ago."
Some months ago, releasing the funds would have been out of the question, given the criminal history of the former Mrs. Fisher, but things may have changed. Now, discussing the matter is not out of the question.
"I would be very pleased to discuss that at your convenience," Stone said.
"I would find it convenient to have dinner at Danielle tonight, then have a drink at your place."
Stone hoped she didn't hear him grit his teeth. "Of course, Tiff. May we meet at Danielle at 8?
"We may," she said. "See you there."
Stone hung up and called Danielle immediately. The place was, arguably, the most expensive restaurant in New York, and was packed every night, but he managed to get to the maitre d' and finagle a table, which would cost him. He hung up, relieved, and wondered what the hell had suddenly moved Tiffany to call him about this now, months after she had ignored his written request. Stone arrived on time and ordered a drink in the bar. Tiffany, who was reliably late by nature, joined him 20 minutes later, and he had a second drink with her. The bourbon in his veins led him to appreciate her appearance more than he might have when sober. She was a tall woman, slim, with long blonde hair, and a particularly fetching shape, including impressive breasts, which were on display this evening, barely contained by a tight black dress, with a precipitous décolletage. "How is the fighting of crime going?" Stone asked, trying unsuccessfully to keep his gaze at eye level. Tiffany leaned in on her elbows, which allowed her breasts to pretty much roam free.
"Tough, but we're winning."
They sat at a small table, which allowed her to run a fingernail up his inner thigh. "That's encouraging to hear," Stone replied, crossing his legs in self-defense. This was a voracious woman, and he knew he was not going to make it through the evening without feeding her pleasure. The maitre d' materialized and led them toward the main dining room, pausing long enough to palm the C-note that Stone dangled in his fingers for the man to snag.
"I'm impressed that you could get this table on short notice," Tiffany said, arranging herself so that she could cast an eye over the room for familiar faces.
"So am I," Stone said. Menus arrived, and they ordered dinner.
"May we have champagne?"
Tiffany sort of requested. "Of course," Stone said, opening the wine list and running an eye over the right-hand column, the one with the prices. He chose one that was only $250. The next hour and a half was spent in hyper-expensive gorging, and then they stumbled out into the street and lucked into a quick cab. It took less than 10 minutes to drive to Stone's house, go upstairs, strip, and dive into the sack.
"I trust there are no cameras present this time," she said from her perch atop him.
She alluded to an occasion when, without Stone's knowledge, a bad person had wired his bedroom for both video and audio, then sent a copy of a tryst between himself and Tiffany to page 6 at the New York Post. Fortunately, the angle of the camera's view had made it impossible to entirely identify either of them, though some accurate guessing took place. We are entirely alone, Stone said, lying back and letting her do the work. He waited until she had come three times and exhausted herself before rolling her off him and sitting up on one elbow. Now to business, he whispered in her ear. I released the account this afternoon, she said. Your client is now $3.5 million richer. Oh, and you can thank your friend Mike Freeman, who called the Attorney General on your client's behalf.
Why didn't you tell me that at dinner? He asked.
Because if your wish had been granted too early, you might have been less interested in the latter part of the evening, she said. And I'm staying the night.
I hope you won't mind if I get some sleep, Stone said, rolling over and pulling up the covers.
Not at all, Tiffany said. I'll let you know when you're needed.
And she did.
The following morning, suffering from soreness, Stone called Herbie Fisher. Herbie Fisher's office, a female voice said.
Good morning. It's Stone Barrington.
Mr. Barrington, this is the receptionist. Mr. Fisher and his secretary are in a real estate closing at the moment. I'll tell him you called.
Thank you. Stone hung up, wondering what real estate sale Herbie was closing. An hour later, Herbie called.
Sorry about not taking your call, Stone.
Not at all, Herbie. What were you closing?
A new client of mine, High Cotton Ideas, bought an old building in Soho for its headquarters.
Oh, this is Marshall Brennan's software startup.
One and the same. I've already got a construction crew in the building, making it habitable for a shiny new corporation.
Then you're a full-service attorney.
You betcha.
I have good news, Herbie.
By the way, it's Herb, remember?
Of course. Negligent of me.
What's the good news?
Mike Freeman called his friend, the Attorney General, on your behalf, and yesterday the U.S. Attorney released your ex's brokerage account. You may now do what you will with the money.
That's great news, Stone. After what I've seen and heard downtown, I'm going to put it all into High Cotton Ideas. My client is so happy with my services that he has offered me an investment opportunity.
I won't ask you for details to avoid having to explain myself to the SEC after the IPO takes place.
You give yourself good legal advice, Stone.
I do, thank you. And you owe me a very good dinner for what I had to do last night on your behalf.
I think I know exactly what that means, Herbie said. And I take the position that your lack of virtue was its own reward.
Stone hung up, laughing.